All right, come with me to Genesis chapter 28. Just to my scripture tonight is in the book of Acts, but we will play around with a few scriptures. And when I'm sure that you are in church, we will now start our contemplations in the book of Acts. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Hallelujah. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and the gate of heaven. This is his definition. This is none other. There is a noise. Clint, help me so that I don't want to hear that noise. This place cannot be mistaken. They are not two of the likeness of this place. This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. If we understand what the house of God means in the little teaching that I will do, then it will open up the scripture that I brought for us this evening. This man was running from home. This man had manipulated his way into receiving something that was spiritual. The thing he received was spiritual. It was obvious that he was not educated sufficiently to understand the implication of being in custody of what he received. He desired the essence of a certain family. And the essence of that family was a spiritual thing. He saw that by reason of sequence, he was not favored to inherit that thing. So he manipulated his way in partnership with his mother and was able to secure it. Now that he had secured this spiritual thing, the responsibility for his survival was in his hands. So he took off from home. He didn't have so much time to pack. Took his staff and a few items and escaped. Escaped before the face of the one that was, by tradition, set up for that same inheritance. Now, what is happening in this scripture that I read to us is that the man decided that he had traveled long enough. He needed to sleep. Are you with me? If you are reading the way I just read, you would think that he was the one that chose where he would sleep. Surprisingly, when he decided to sleep, he felt that day that he cannot sleep except he had something like a pillow. So he looked for a stone around the place and made that stone his headrest. Unknown to him, his grandfather had opened a spiritual website in that same location by setting up an altar. The story of Abraham was the story of the tent and the altar. If you study the book of Genesis, you are going to find some critical, pivotal functionaries that God raised, and his dealings with them were different. For instance, the dealings that God had with Adam was based on the trees in the garden. The dealings that God had with Abel was around sacrifice. The dealings that God had with Noah was around an ark, the construction of an ark. The dealings that God had with Enoch was about heaven. The dealings that God had with Abraham was around altars. Are you there? Stay with me. Now, Abraham pitched his tents, but he built altars. So tents were temporary. Altars were permanent. Today we build tents and we pitch altars. If you wanted to know Abraham's navigation in the territory, because his altars were permanent, even if he moves, the relics of the altar still stand. So if you want to know his navigation, you can track him through the altars that are standing. This young man that came to collect the essence of what powered Abraham. Abraham is such a man of stature that Muslims, Christians, and Jews claim that he is their ancestor. Think about that. I'd like you to imagine the kind of stature he had acquired that makes him the reference point to these three sets of people. The essence that he carried forms the foundation upon which redemption was eventually established. Redemption began with Abraham. It found its culmination in the cross of Christ. There were great men that rose before Abraham was called, but with none of them did God start the process of redemption. Abraham was that man that God called out of some place in Iraq The reason why he was called was because God wanted to begin to redeem. So if you see the likeness of his calling, you will see that he had to be brought out of a certain context. And if you read history, you study history, you will realize that civilization began in Ur of the Chaldees. The time that God was asking Abraham to leave his father, leave his kindred, leave his nation. At that time, Ur of the Chaldees upon the face of the earth was like what America is today. The guy was leaving the nation that was called the light for him to grow in the darkness. And you must understand that if Abraham were to fulfill the request, the commandment that God was giving to him, he will eventually become fatherless, clanless, nationless. He will lose his surname without an identity, without a nation. Because the idea that God wanted to establish with him was nationhood. So his affinity to any existing nation had to be cut off, because his identity would derive from God. It is the journey of navigating from all the Chaldees to the land that he was promised that gave him a new language called Hebrew. Unknown to this young man that went to collect the essence that was the power behind the life of Abraham, he did not study what he collected. He thought he was the one that chose a place to rest. He doesn't know that the place chose him, and that the stone that he wanted to pick to help him relax, the stone was one of the stones that his grandfather used to build an altar on the same location many years ago. So was he the one that chose that stone? The moment he became possessor of that spiritual essence, the spiritual essence was now responsible for his navigation. But he thought it was his human intelligence that was still at work. He took the stone, made it his pillow, and decided to sleep. And when his physical senses went to rest, his spiritual senses were activated, and he saw the same location from the vista of the Holy Ghost. If you want to define a territory, you need to be careful to study the spiritual infrastructure behind nations, behind lands. The spirit, most of you don't even know your family. Have you seen your family from the realm of the spirit? What you know are the names of the power of your siblings. You heard a story that pastor told. His grandfather, as a missionary, went to labor in a certain land, adopted someone, brought the person home. The fact that you made that person to change location from where the person previously was, and then you took the person somewhere very distant from where the person was taken. The essence behind that person's family. Are you there? You were the one that you covered distance, miles. Probably to bring the person into a civilization that will make the person develop and become a significant individual in society. But the essence in the person's family, even though you did not say where the person was going to be domiciled, the essence knew exactly, and even knew what part of the house the person was in, so there was still contact through the window. This guy took those stones and it became his pillow. And when his spiritual, physical senses were shut down, his spiritual senses were activated and he saw the same location. The first thing that he saw, which was not visible in the natural, when he used his physical senses to inspect the ground, was that he saw a ladder, a linkage. If you set up a righteous altar, so the first thing in the definition of territory is an altar. So Abraham set up that altar. It was his link to heaven. It was through that altar that he gave earthly permission for heavenly interference. Because by royal decree, the earth belongs to the sons of men. So this is our jurisdiction. This is not a place for spirits. It was not meant for spirits. And just in case you see a spirit operating here, don't look for the spirit. Look for the human being that gave that spirit legitimacy to operate here. Priesthood is the skill of allowing earthly permission or heavenly interference. You can decide that you don't want God in your family. And the way you do that is that you don't establish any altar in your family. So if there's no altar in your family, even though God desires to invade that location, he doesn't have the legitimacy because you did not create the atmosphere. The dealings that God had with Abraham was around his altars. So the first thing that resulted from the practice of priesthood in the life of Abraham was a linkage. Now, stay with me. This linkage that I'm talking about is the conduit that links heaven to the earth. And the orientation of that linkage that you see in the book of Genesis chapter 10 is not the only possible orientation that exists. The orientation of the linkage is going to be a function of the type of altar that is set up in the realm. So Abraham set up a righteous altar. So the linkage was from earth to heaven. Are you there? If a demonic altar is set up, the linkage will have another orientation. Imagine that the Bible calls heaven above. It doesn't necessarily mean this above. Just for your information, because I know we are in Boston. There are so many academic people here. So when you hear above, because the direction that someone in South Africa will be pointing when he says above is different from this direction. That's what I mean. So that above, as scripture mentions when he speaks about heaven, is an above that has a spiritual reference. That's okay. The Bible also says that hell is beneath. Are you understanding me? And so this is the idea. The earth is in the middle. Heaven is above. Earth, hell is beneath. If it is a righteous altar, the linkage will connect earth to heaven. If it's a demonic altar, the linkage will connect earth to hell. That linkage will be responsible for the kind of spiritual entities that will have permission and license to operate within the territory. In this case, the linkage was responsible for the manifestation of what we call an angelic stronghold. And the angelic stronghold maintained an oscillatory motion. Because the Bible reveals that the movement of these angelic beings was in a certain pattern. They were ascending and descending. He did not say that they were descending and ascending. what was responsible for the oscillatory motion was not in heaven. What was responsible for the motion was on earth, and it was Abraham's altar. So the altar was the platform that was driving that motion. And you realize, are you still with me? Now, this is not my message. This is, I'm aware you are not in church now. I'm aware. You are still somewhere at the gas station. You are still in the office. This is an attempt to bring you to church. Coming to church is a big thing. You are not supposed to come and go back the same way. No, it's not. That's not the order of things. Are you there? Okay. So, there's an angelic stronghold, and this angelic stronghold, which is occasioned by the orientation of the linkage, happens to be in motion, driven by the altar that legitimized the activities of angels in a three-dimensional frame of reference. This realm is not meant for angels. This realm is... Oh, you don't believe me? Okay. Come with me, come with me. Let's do Bible study. If you have Luke in your Bible, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. If you have it, put it on the screen for me. Luke 24:39. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a good Bible that is a red letter Bible, you will find the comments that I want to read in red letters, symbolizing that they are direct utterances from the mouth of Jesus. Now, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus made this statement when he rose from the dead. It means that at this time, he was wearing his spiritual body. This is not a physical body. Because your physical body cannot survive death. Because he was not going to die again. So the body he was wearing was a body that was immune to death. This was a spiritual body. Are you here? Okay. So, this is Jesus. Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet." The reason why I can behold you is because you occupy space. You occupy physical space. That's why you can be beheld. Are you there? Second thing that Jesus said is, "Handle me and see." The reason why I can handle you is because you have matter. Are you there? Handle me and see, because you have matter. And this event took place in time. The three-dimensional frame of reference in this context is space, is matter, and time. This is not a realm for spirits. And then Jesus, in order to clarify things, because I know some of you were told that you are a spirit, that you possess a soul, and you live in a body. That's what you were told. Jesus says, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Now, if the person close to you is not offended, can you scan, test the person for flesh and bone? So, what you were taught that you are a spirit is a lie. And if I have time, I can tell you why that became a doctrine. But I don't have time. I would have told you why it became a doctrine. Nothing, you are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body. It became a doctrine because of something. The deception was smuggled in for a particular purpose. But I don't have time. Now, please, you are not a spirit. And there is no scripture in the entire Bible that you can quote as your authority that you are a spirit. The authority I'm quoting here is in red letters. Now, I don't even have time to support it with other scriptures so that it will not come up in your mind ever again. That deception that you are a spirit. It says, spirit has not flesh and bones as ye see me have. It means that even with your resurrected body, you will not be a spirit. If you still have time, I can show you that Jesus, with this resurrected body, he ate fish. Okay, forget about that. I've made my point already. That this realm is a three-dimensional realm. It's a realm of time, a realm of space, and a realm of matter. It's not a realm for spirits and angels. But through priesthood, if you set up an altar, you can provide earthly permission for heavenly interference. And that was what the life of Abraham was about. What was permanent in his life were his altars. What was temporary was how he lived, how he ordered himself. That was temporary. He was living for altars. That's what I'm saying. And that was how he was built to it by God. The place we call Israel today is a place that was secured by altars. That was Abraham's work. And it doesn't matter how many nuclear weapons are developed, nobody would take that place because it was demarcated by altars. Go and get a hydrogen bomb. This is Boston, the home of your education. I am challenging you, go and develop. You will see that by the time we are old, that nation will still be there because it was demarcated by altars. You have not secured the future and the possibilities that are to come if you don't know the technology and the science behind altars. I know you want your children to be great. The way to make them great is not by wishing that they'll be great or by sending them to Harvard. The story that we have not, the statistics we have not captured, the statistics of people that went to Harvard and they are Rolling Stones. Not everyone that went there became great. We like saying that the sharpest guys, no, calm down. Let's work with the real statistics. Because at the end of the day, altars can manipulate everything. This young man was running from home. Thought he was smart. That he had secured the essence of his clan. And he was hoping to live a normal life. Doesn't know that because he was in possession of what he received, he was being manipulated by the power behind it. His eyes were open to see the angelic stronghold. And they were not just camping. They were in motion. The man that set up the altar had died long time ago. The place had been reduced to rubble, but the spirit city that his priesthood created was still alive. Now, so you want to understand Boston. You see, the unfortunate thing is that you now brought cameras today. So, I can no longer speak. Yesterday, there were no cameras. That was why I was speaking to you the way I did. Now, we have to. That's the problem. You want to understand this land? What you see are the ivory towers of education. That's what you see. There were several things that existed here before those schools were built. The things that were established here is what permitted the schools to be founded here. the shape of the things, the way they exist in the structure that was built, could accommodate these schools. That's why they are. The things that the spiritual structure could not accommodate could not rest in the land. So if we set up altars first, the altars will determine what can stay on the land. Because everything that eventually stays on the land will be swallowed up by the altars. The altars will regulate it. And it doesn't matter if you take someone from Ghana, from the heart of Accra, and you bring the person to Boston. The altars that were set up in the person's family will still regulate his possibilities. You see, that bed, the location of that girl was not known to her relatives. But the essence of that household still had her in sight. The people that set up the altars in her clan now felt that if we allow this one, it's likely to become something that we cannot control. So let us end her. And without taking permission from the people that were housing her, that loved her, they took her out. The doctor studied for 7 years. If you bring the corpse to the doctor, he will be saying something. He says, the laparotomy. But she was a victim of a spiritual thing that doctor doesn't have any means of understanding. His stethoscope and all the machines of medical physics in his laboratory cannot give him an idea of the things that transacted that led to the demise of that girl. The angels were ascending and descending. Years after, the man that was responsible for the altars of that. What do you know about the earth when you are just 42 years old? The oldest among us in this room is a novice, as touching the realities and the foundations that were built in the territories where we dwell. You'll be ignorant if you boast because you have a degree that you got for 4 years. Because life existed before our degrees were forged. Your knowledge is not complete if the soil where it was sown is your soul. So the man, there is territory, number one, altar. Number two, what linkage, what realm does the altar link to? That's the second thing you need to investigate. Number three, what stronghold is there? Is it angelic or demonic? You have to investigate it because it will determine what you can achieve in that location. Oh, you are not with me. You are still not in church yet. When you arrive, then we will move to the book of Acts. I'm not telling you what I'm telling you because I know the Bible. I know it a little. But I've been in a long warfare that has lasted more than 2 decades spiritually. But I know what I'm talking about. I'm aware of the fact that pastoring, if you want to do the kind of pastoring that I've seen in America, which is get a hall and then be trusting God that people will come. You start your pastoring with people. Meanwhile, Moses was sent to deliver people from Egypt. Before he touched the people, he had to combat the spirits of the territory. The deliverance of the people, the leading the people out is the easy part. All the plagues you saw was God operating through Moses to judge the 12 gods of the land of Egypt. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to take you through the infrastructure, the structure, the pillars of territories are rooted in the realm of the spirit. Moses had to deal with them first. When he dealt with those spiritual pillars behind the Egyptian civilization, then he could take the people out of captivity. Now, see, the Pharaoh that eventually was chasing them, Moses had reduced the battle to a physical battle. He had defeated the spiritual strongholds of the house of Egypt and reduced the battle to physical one. That's what happened in Egypt. So the last ability that Pharaoh had was his army. And that's the simplest part of the job. Moses did not need to take weapons to fight. So my question to you is, have you seen your family in the realm of the spirit? If you have not seen it, don't boast. You don't know your family. You will not know why people die untimely. You will not know why some people run mad. You will not know why some people cannot get married. Okay, you are sad now. Okay, I also know how to preach other messages. Like love. God so loved the world. If we want to get serious in church, if we want to get serious, then we need to teach like this. But if you want us to be jubilating, and we finish jubilating, you go back and the afflictions are still there, you cannot, oh my God. Now, if the person that allowed his phone ring now is going to cut, the person will remember to switch it on. You see, there's no structure in that person's life. Person is coming to church, but the God of the church cannot invest anything serious in the life of that individual because there is no structure. For instance, we sleep. Those that have structure in their lives, it's not as if they are finished sleeping, but they wake up to connect with heaven. They still feel sleepy. You are lucky you met me now. If you had met me 2 years ago, you would have remembered this day forever. I'm trying to be like an American. Trying to change. If you had met me 2 years ago, when the man woke up from his sleep, he says, how dreadful is this place? One thing he did not miss was that the Lord was here, but I did not know. He was not expecting God. He was not expecting an encounter. He was not expecting that God would haunt him. He was wondering why him. He did not remember that he's now in custody of a spiritual thing. The Lord was here. I did not know. Oh, I've not finished counting. An altar, a linkage, a spirit city, which is either an angelic or a demonic stronghold, then a gateway or a portal, an opening into a realm that takes us beyond the physical realm and connects us into another dimension. I told you that the spirit realm is not different from this realm in terms of distance. You can stand on one spot, the way I was trying to. The person leading praise and worship today, you were more interested in the songs you were singing than the ministry that you were releasing. You can call somebody to lead prayer, and the person is the prayerful person, and then the person comes and enjoys personal prayer on the platform. That's not ministering prayer. You are not with me. You are not ministering prayer. The reason for which you are leading prayer is that you prayed first and got the direction that God wants the congregation to pray. Then when you get that direction, you now go and do Bible study and get relevant scriptures that can motivate people to begin to navigate in that direction. As you are doing that, the Holy Spirit will now release the spirit of supplication on the people. That means you have ministered. The dimension that you want the people that you are ministering to enter into, your spirit man is supposed to have entered that dimension first. And then your ministering is supposed to bring everybody under the sound of your voice into the same dimension by the time you finish ministry. That is the definition of ministry. I can be burning with fire in my spirit, and I'm shouting. At the end of the day, nobody enters into that fire. You did not minister. You were just burning. I know somebody is understanding what I'm saying. Now, so listen to me. Now, my spirit is burning. It's burning. Before this service ends, all of you will enter into the same burning. That will be the proof that I ministered to you. Everyone experienced the economy that is driving my human spirit. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Life is spiritual. I've seen good men die. We're just coming from where we're staying here, and then they sent me a message. Your friend has died. One of my friends. He's dead now. Young man like myself. But he died. When you find things happen that are not supposed to happen, they were made to happen because of the spiritual infrastructure. Those invisible things that are rooted into your family, that you refuse to deal with. You deny that they don't exist. Those things will shape your life more than Harvard that you went to. So there is a portal that leads us into another dimension. And then the principality of that dimension. You know, Jesus stood in the window of the potter and was giving him a personal covenant. So this land, I have given this land to you. The north of it, the south of it, the east of it, the west of it. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So there were also people that set up demonic altars, and Satan and evil spirits came through and gave them a personal covenant. And if it happens to be that you are in such a family that houses a personal satanic covenant, in order for you to break it, okay, maybe we're in America, we don't need to be talking about this. and you see one guy with biceps, big broad chest, and then we tell you, this one, your life will be warfare until you are old because of the covenants that have been set up in the place. Then you say, no, I'm in love. I love you. Jesus gave him a personal covenant. And the young lad woke up out of his sleep. He made some comment. He said, this is a dreadful place. This is what? Now, listen to me. Listen carefully. It means that there is a being that is here. We cannot see this being, but this being is ever present here. And if I don't know how to deal properly with this being, I might suffer affliction. So this is a dreadful place. That is a sign of godly fear. Huh? Oh, you are not with me. That's the first reaction. Whenever you see someone that doesn't have reverence for God, he might be a preacher, but he has never met God. This is a dreadful place. Someone dwells here. That's the first comment. The second comment he makes is, this is none other. That means you cannot mistake this place for somewhere else. This is none other than the house of God. Are you there? And it will interest you to know that there was no building in that place. So what is his definition of the house of God? The house of God is a place where the dimensions of God are trapped down. You can be called the house of God because the dimensions of God in his spirit are trapped in your human spirit. So you can be called the house. But that is not the only definition of house. You are not the only definition of the house of God. There's a second definition of the house of God that I want us to see. And if we can see it, then I can introduce my scripture. In normal teaching time, it's supposed to be 4 hours. In normal teaching time, for us to make a complete sense and get people to see through the vistas of God. Supposed to be 4 hours. I know America can't afford that time. I know that. Because people need to clock in. The oscillatory motion of your life is driven by the US dollar. I understand that. But you see, we are underfed. Oh my God. It's carbohydrates. The sugar level is high. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this is none other but the house of God. And what? The gate of heaven. Excuse me. Is the man saying that the gate of heaven is upon the face of the earth? No. Believe the Bible. Don't believe your brain. The man said, this place is called the gate of heaven, and it's on earth. Ah, okay. Let me leave you. If it's difficult to... Before you start a spiritual journey, you must have a reference. Witches. Witches, they do a lot of capacity building. From the age of 8, they begin to invoke the spirits of the witches of the next generation. They train them for at least 21 years. You go to college. You study for 5 years, for 6 years, then you become disciplined in an aspect of learning. Right? You become something. So what do we become by coming to church? Think about it. Oh. You become nothing. So from what I see in this my 2 years in America, there was no design, no plan for you to become anything. So the ability we have as pulpit ministers is to make people happy, make them feel among, they are part of the community. You can get that in a cult. It seems, you know, Pastor, it seems that my promise of coming, we will change it. We have to change it. What do you become? What have you become? What can you do? Okay, if I give you the mic, what can you use your prayer to do? We are talking about performance. Because people's problems are practical. They are not in a psychological realm. Say, okay, let's look for it. No. The person came, the person is afflicted. The person is under a curse. We need to have our spiritual learning should bring us to a place where we can solve practical problems. If you can't solve a practical problem, you're wasting your time. The church of the end time has a texture. We want to continue in the merry-go-round kind of church arrangement at a critical moment where every believer is supposed to be developed to know his God. Because the Bible says that the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall what do? But wait, I know you are quoting the scripture. Wait. The scripture did not say the people that know Jehovah shall be strong. It said the people that know their God. And someone's God can be the siren of the Boston Lake. And if the person knows that siren, the person will be strong and the person will do exploits. The proof that you know a spirit being is the exploits that you can do. If you cannot do exploits, forget it. You don't know. I was trained as a scientist. I know what chemicals can do. If I take your blood sample, I know the chemicals to run through that sample. And if you give me a microscope, I can tell you a lot about your blood. What we do is practical. So we cannot come to church and then say everything is in the esoteric. No. If it is true that we have entered there, we should be able to create an effect. Before this service comes to an end, several people that are not aware of the conditions they've been suffering under will discover it today. Amen. Now, I know you are excited, but I don't need that amen. I'm telling you, I'm casting news. How many of you have listened to CNN 9 o'clock in the evening and you say amen? What I'm doing is I'm casting news, just like announcements. The kind of thing that happens when people come to cast news. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, by the intelligence of heaven, I'm saying that so shall it be tonight. The man said, so we cannot do gate of heaven today. Let's start with house of God first. Because his idea of the house of God is that the dimensions of God are trapped in a location. The dimensions of God are trapped in a location. Those dimensions are so real that he called the place, not the realm, the place, the physical location, he called it a dreadful place. It means that anywhere that has this, the dimensions of God trapped down, that place becomes dreadful. Okay, so the lady you spoke about, the one that your grandfather bought, standing and looking out of her window, excited at the new environment and the possibilities that the environment brings. She's already seen a hope, but unfortunately she looks out of the window and then the dimensions of a certain realm were trapped in the location where she was. That's all that happened to her. She was a victim of a dimension that was trapped in a location. It is because of that testimony that I opened this scripture. So what I came to tell us is, the dimensions of God are tangible and they can be trapped. So I need to show us the technology by which that happens and why a church service is different from all I will say is, you met me at the right time. There's something I can say to you that you will regret forever. Just say, there's something I can tell you. But you met me at the right time. There were two influences that changed me. Jesus changed me. And then my wife. Those days when I met my wife, I was Elijah. I don't shake women. Two things I don't do. I don't shake women. Until today, if you send me a voice note and you are female, I will never listen to it. Those days, we don't laugh in the public. That was how we were trained. So what made me break those things was the woman I now married. So I'm saying, you met me at a good time. But maybe we will use the next person that will go out of line as an example that what I'm saying is true. Because at this time, it is now clear that you know what you are doing and you want to allow it. So I will tell you that I will not allow. We'll try with the next one. Now, so come with me quickly to the book of Matthew. You have not known that this is a dreadful place. There is, and until you know that, you can never know God. Until you reverence the one that is here, then you are not ready to navigate on the path of spiritual progress. This is a dreadful place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of what? Of heaven. All right, so Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. He called the place the house of God because the dimensions of God were trapped down. The presence of God was trapped down. The things that happen when the presence of God is available, those things were available. Angelic presence, all kinds of things that happen because the presence of God is in a place. All those things were active in that location. So he called the place the house of God. In Matthew chapter 18, from verse 18 to 20, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you." Meanwhile, this is an attempt to show us two spiritual possibilities that abound in the realm of the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's an attempt. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." If English language means anything, what Jesus is saying is that earth is supposed to control heaven. Why? Because this is our jurisdiction. This is the place that God has given us to establish our dominion. The dominion mandate gives us right to territory, right to influence. All right? So if we decide that this kind of stuff should not take place here again, heaven will endorse it. But the petition must begin from earth. I don't know if there are things in your family that you have been seeing, patterns, people die young, and then people that know Jesus in that family arise and say, we bind this now. And then heaven now endorses it. Then that pattern ends. He's saying we have such capacity, we have such ability in him. Number 2, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, if you notice the first spiritual law he was making available is applicable in individually, is also applicable collectively. But this second provision has no individual application. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I've done an extensive teaching on this not too long ago, so I don't want to go into that. You see, there were two spiritual laws that Jesus revealed, but he only explained one in detail. It's this second one he explained in detail. He did not explain the first one in detail. So this second one now, he, in his attempt to explain it, the reason why this law is efficacious, is dependable, is sustained, is because of verse 20. So verse 20, because where two or three are gathered. So the two or three there, if you are acquainted with the Old Testament, that is what we call the number of witness. Number of witness. The witness, the number of witness is the quorum that must be satisfied in order for this kind of oppression to find expression. For territorial things to shift, maybe we want the prince over the atmosphere of this city to shift. There are various territorial quorum that must be satisfied. On the day of Pentecost, the quorum was 120. You are not with me. Because that quorum was 120, the growth pattern from the day of Pentecost were all measures of 120. Now, stop. 120 in the upper room. Are you with me? The first ingathering that took place was 3,000. 3,000. 120 divided by 3,000. Do you have my number? It should be something like 25 or so. 25. 25. So the first ingathering that took place was 25 measures of 120. The next one that took place was 5,000. Still numerals of 120. The growth was structured. It never violated the initial quorum. And I don't want to go into all of that. Well, okay. The Lord will help us. He said, for where two or three are gathered? How are they gathered? They are gathered in his name. And that's ancient English. It means that they are gathered in representative capacity as him. That's what that means. Okay, now, supposing I work in Washington, D.C., and President Trump was supposed to be in this meeting. He now said, well, I cannot go to that meeting, but you know, you are a friend of Pastor Azed, So you are going to represent me in that meeting, and this is my speech. Even though I'm reading out the speech, I'm not reading out that speech as me. I'm reading out that speech as President Trump. So I'm there as him. I'm there in representative capacity. I'm there not doing the things I would have wanted to do, but I'm doing the things that he wants done. Is that clear? Now, see, he says, if we can gather in his name, he will be there in the midst of us. You know the implication of that? It means that the dimensions of God will be trapped down, just like it was trapped in the book of Genesis chapter 28. And we will have the same experience that Jacob had. This is the formula, the technicality that is required to trap the dimensions of God down. One person cannot achieve it. It must be at least what? Two. You get it? So these two or three or more people come together. And what we want to do when we come together is not to do what we want to do. We want to do what Jesus wants done. So we'll be doing what we are doing in representative capacity. We'll keep away our own agenda, keep away what we like, keep away the kind of things we normally will do. And then we'll now say we are dedicating this moment to Jesus. So before I can even come for such a meeting, I must go to Jesus and find out what he wants to say. Which is the reason why most times we can't sleep in the night. Because we need to find out what he wants to say. Because the arrangement is to operate in representative capacity and to say what he would say if he were physically present, and to do what he would do if he were physically present. Right? Now, in the case of President Trump that I used as an example, the reason why he's asking me to go in representative capacity is because he's not coming. So I will come in his name. You get it? But in the case of Jesus, he said, when you begin to operate in representative capacity, you are saying what I'm saying, you are singing my song, you are doing the things that I want done, then me, I will now come. You get it? I will now come. The moment he comes, it is that his coming that transforms our gathering from being a normal, the kind of stuff you have in a stadium when they are playing soccer. That's what makes our gathering different from that mundane type of gathering, because we've been able to secure the dimensions of God in our midst. If you are in the service, all right, and we are doing what we are doing, representing him, saying what he wants us to say, and all of that, and you were in the service, and your phone was ringing, and then you still remained in that service when his presence now showed up, and then your phone now rings. The implication in the two instances is different. Because the moment he steps into the place becomes a dreadful place. Becomes a dreadful place, and anyone that decides to stand outside of line can be visited. And I am telling you, in my own small ministry, in my own small practice of ministry, I have been in a meeting before. I was warning them about this phone call. Hey, this doesn't happen when I preach. And then somebody in his heart now said, this troublesome man, in his heart, and the person became dumb instantly. You know why? Because at that time, that presence had already come. I have seen that. The person became dumb from that meeting, and at the end of the meeting, the man brought the person and said, I'm not aware of how the person became dumb. I don't know how you arrived at this point. And why should I be responsible for your dumbness at this? Oh, they now say, they now knelt down and say, oh. We had to begin to pray for that lady. And then she began to speak it. And that was a very powerful, and that's the kind of thing that will happen to someone that will now allow the phone ring now. Because I tell you now, don't say mercy too quickly. Don't say it too quickly. Don't say it. Some people that don't understand the reverence of God, they just come into God's place. We are also coming. The place is a normal place until this monarch decides to descend. Then the temperature changes. So this is the formula of dropping the dimensions. You must be gathered in my name. It must be in representative capacity. You are doing what I want to do. The things I would have done if I was in your midst physically present is the things that you are doing. So that's why you are not yet a serious minister. If you don't go for every single time that you need to speak for God, you go to find out from Him, what are you saying? What are you saying? And you speak in tongues. It takes time to get one. It takes time. And there's no automatic way of arriving at that conclusion. And there's no machine too that can help. If not, I would have bought one and switched it on to be producing what God is. If He is the one saying what I'm saying, then He will come into the open to back it up. That is ministry. We create an avenue that it will be conducive for Him to come and prove that I sent Him. He is saying what I have sent Him to say. Are you there? So come with me. In the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back a part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. That sounds like this is a dreadful, what, place. Oh, you are not following me. Now, this guy, and I need you to understand what motivated him into this thing. If you go to chapter 4, you are going to see a Levite called Barnabas. And if you understand Hebrew culture, Levites do not own property. So, I don't know, maybe someone gave Barnabas property. And he saw the need that was in the church of those days, and Barnabas went and sold that property. Brought the money and placed it. No, his name was not Barnabas. His name was Joseph. And he placed the proceeds at the apostles' feet. It was when he placed it at the apostles' feet, the need was met. Then Peter now called him, gave him the name Barnabas. His real name was Joseph. But he was named Barnabas because he was a son of consolation. His sacrifice consoled the apostles. His sacrifice was, he took pressure from the apostles. And so they changed his name and said, "You shall be called Barnabas because you are a son of consolation." And when Ananias saw the level of honor that was given to Barnabas, they went and sold their own land too. But when they sold the land, they kept a portion. And then they came to church and cried. And then they fell at their apostles' feet and dropped it. Let it look like the Lord is dealing with them. They don't want to give the money, but the Lord is dealing with them. It's working on their hearts. It's working. And then they now dropped it. They were expecting a change of name. But unfortunately for this man that was going through all these theatrics, the Holy Ghost had already come that time. The dimensions of God had already been trapped in the realm, in the space, in the location that time. And the Holy Ghost possessed Peter instantly. And he was speaking through his vocal cord, Ananias. How was it possible for Satan to break through your defenses and to fill your heart? You know, that's a question. How was it possible? Are you with me? Now, you know, the reason why we use the authority of Scripture to speak is because you are a defense city. If I don't use the authority of Scripture to speak, you will not accept what I'm saying. So you are defended even as you are. So the question is, how was it possible for Ananias, his defenses to break? What did Satan tell him that he opened up Ananias? Do you realize what is going on? The moment the presence of God came into that fellowship that day, when Ananias was attempting to do what he did, there was a fight. The fight was between Holy Ghost versus Ananias. It was no longer the church. It had gone beyond that. So there are several sacrileges you can commit in church. Because you don't drop dead, doesn't mean you escaped. It is bad if demons are haunting you to do you evil. But if it's the Holy Ghost that is against you, the dimensions of God were already trapped down. And when the guy was doing what he did, Peter, speaking from the Holy Ghost, said, "You have not attempted to lie against man. Your attempt at deceit was an attempt in futility in the presence of the Holy Ghost, making him understand that the level, where we are now, is Holy Ghost versus Ananias. Because Ananias could not discern the thing that Jacob discerned, that this has become a dreadful place. Who don't discern? Could understand that. He dropped and he gave up. You know, during those days when the hyper grace teaching was flying everywhere, and I know it got to YouTube, where people began to say stuff like, "You cannot sin away your salvation. But your salvation was not a product of works, so you cannot lose your salvation by works." Can you hear that logic? Meanwhile, the Bible says we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. Huh? There is a possibility to draw back unto perdition. Meanwhile, the same Bible says that Jesus was the one saying it, that he will blot out some people's name from the book of life. 80 times in the New Testament, Jesus is warning. 80 times. There are 80 warnings in the New Testament. If you cannot lose your salvation, there will be no warning in the Bible. They'll just say, Continue. 80 in the New Testament. You've not counted it. I have. You know why? Because it is a dreadful place. Because God has already come. So you can no longer do business as usual. The stakes are higher. If all you see after he had come into the place are men, drums, and guitars, you are wrong. Because if you go out of line, you will have a case with the Holy Ghost. So he did not know. He thought he was dealing with men. He was dealing with Peter. Peter is mortal. I need the title. When he became him and the Holy Ghost in combat, his motivation for doing what he did no longer made sense. Because he never knew that God would pick on it. He thought it would end at the feet of men. He could not discern that it was a dreadful. If the church in Boston is going to make any headway, then God must be a dread in our midst again. If his fear is not restored, forget it. If what we have power to do as preachers of the gospel is to entertain, then the redemption of the land is still afar off. This is a dreadful day. Are you there? Come with me. Come with me. Still in the book of Acts chapter 5. Still in the book of Acts chapter 5. This is what happened. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were arrested and they were brought before the Sanhedrin. The accusation was that they should not speak again in the name of Jesus, and they were speaking in the name of Jesus, so they arrested them and said, "Did we not warn you not to speak again in this name? Why is it that you keep speaking about this man and you intend to bring his death, make us responsible for his death?" That was the day that Peter decided to arise and said, "You judge for yourself. Is it better for us to obey you or to obey God?" And Peter made it clear that he was in the service of God, and the only one he will obey is God. He respects the members of the Sanhedrin, but if at any point in time his obeying God will mean contradicting the instructions of the Sanhedrin, he will go with God and damn the consequences. The moment that guy said that, you know what he has done? He has pitched the Holy Ghost against the Sanhedrin. So these people knew the God that they were serving. Now come with me. Acts chapter 5 verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, the doctor of the law, had reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting in himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. 38 and 39. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it shall come to naught. 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to fight against what? God. This man was able to recognize that they were now in a dreadful place. If they had gone headlong to catch Peter and maybe to kill him, what would have happened is that many of them will come to that council and drop dead. Because the Holy Ghost, yeah, it will be a battle between the Holy Ghost and the Sanhedrin. It was the voice of Gamaliel that saved that house. We might be caught up in a situation where we are fighting against God. So when you begin to operate in representative capacity, you are not there of your own will, you are just there representing someone. So you don't take responsibility for what, for the outcome of your representation. The one that you were representing is the one that shows up to take responsibility of the outcome. This man said, refrain, because we might find ourselves in a situation where we are in open combat with what? With God. Did you get that? I should show you more people that were in combat because they could not discern what Jacob discerned in Bethel. Now, having understood this, I need to show you three matters before I stop talking. There are three things. The first thing is this. If you want to trap God's presence, you want to trap him down so that he can heal, he can bring back to life, he can restore, he can give back that which was taken away from you. You want to see him practically manifesting himself, not as a spectator. When he said, there I am in your midst, he was not hoping to come as a spectator. He wanted to become an active participant. The first thing you need to do is to recognize the presence. Recognize the person. I know when you are the one talking, and I know when the Holy Ghost takes over your vocal cord and he's the one talking. I know it. I can recognize it. Recognize the person. When you were ministering, the presence was here, right? Very powerful. You were concentrated on your altar, and people that did not know how to recognize the presence, many of them were cut off from what you were doing. Your songs were correct. The rhythm in the spirit, you were following it. Your spirit is strong, but you were not diligent to minister to us. The only merchandise that we have as preachers, as Christians, is the life of God. And we must be sensitive to know when that life now springs up like a well. Recognize the presence. Recognize. Do you have what it takes to recognize? You are greater than what people say. Yahweh, you are greater than what people say, Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh, you are greater than what people say. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Say, Yahweh, 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 you are greater than what people say. Yahweh.
In order to be able to attract His presence, the Holy Spirit needs to advise you on what to say, what to sing. At this, He is in a certain mood. The Holy Ghost needs to advise you that in this mood that He is now, if you sing this, you will be ministering to Him. You still remember Acts chapter 13, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spake. So you need advice. So if you will ever have the ability to move the hand of God, which is the level of competence that we need to be able ministers of the new covenant, then we must be able to recognize His presence.
You're greater than what people say. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Than what people say, Yahweh.
Asila bote malik,
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. You are greater than what people say, Yahweh. Singing Yahweh. Yahweh,
Yahweh,
you are greater than what people say. Yahweh,
Silamoke Pamina,
Yahweh. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah.
Something. My message has not finished. I'm just trying to show you the presence. I see something like a net, and the net came from heaven and it trapped someone. This person that is of particular interest to the Lord tonight is someone he calls a messenger of his presence. You were created to transport the presence of God from one place to the other. You were created to be a carrier of the presence of God. You were created to bask in the fire and the light that comes with the presence of God. And God wants to usher you into that pavilion. He wants to usher you into that pavilion in the necklace. If you can, you may be seated. The moment His presence comes in, the scope of what is going on has changed. The first ability that you must have is to recognize that presence. If your neighbor is not recognizing the presence, leave your neighbor behind. When you have recognized the presence, the next thing to do is to respect the presence. Gamaliel was teaching the Sanhedrin respect for the presence. Leave them alone. Don't walk against the presence. Respect the presence. Respect the presence. Respect the presence. Remember that He is not in our midst as a spectator. He's in our midst as an active participant. He wants to participate with us. Because the things we have said are His words. The songs we sang are His songs. So He will now come. It means we have created an atmosphere that is conducive for Him. He's now at liberty to come into our midst to participate with us. Respect the presence. Respect the presence. As you begin to respect the presence, it begins to fill your heart. When it begins to fill your heart, you begin to lose consciousness of your environment. And you are moved into the dimension from whence the Holy Ghost came. Then you begin to hear words, transmissions. You begin to receive visions in that realm. Because you've moved beyond the veil of the natural. You are now in another dimension. And the third thing to take note of, after you respect the presence, accept to be led by the presence. The presence wants to lead you. The presence wants to lead you. If you can accept to be led by the presence, then so now the presence is leading me. There is someone that is being anointed as I speak. There's an anointing that has been coming on the person. There's an anointing that has been coming on the person, and the anointing will begin to intensify. There's an anointing coming on this individual. The anointing will begin to intensify. It will begin to intensify. Because God wants to shift the paradigm of this individual. He wants to break the silence and move you into destiny. He wants to punctuate the silence and move you into the next phase of His grace in your life. And because of that, there is an anointing that is put in. There's an anointing that is placed. There's an anointing that is placing. It's placing that anointing upon your life, upon your vessel. Allow Him to lead you. Yeah.
it's becoming stronger. 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 Holy Ghost. Woman a silano, woman a salamo, mama, Samina, Kobe, Mamina, Sami, Maya, Mana. Lala Lobe Sandi Kayaka Boman Sandi Nadiana Mamose Kamani Tabe. Satani, Ayatobina Sale, Yekoma, Amatose, Yeki, Yamose, Kababola,
willing to heal now. He's willing to heal now. Because he doesn't want to be a spectator. When his dimensions are trapped down, he manifests his glory. Oh my God. Now listen, listen. I see in the spirit, I see a lady in our midst. This lady, there is something I see, darkness. There's this darkness that I see that accompanies you. And the Lord wants to deliver you from this darkness. Now, so ushers, when you find her, bring her to me. Bring her to me. Bring her to me. Bring her to me. He doesn't want to be a spectator. He wants to be a participant. A participant. We need to remove that darkness from that lady. Can you stretch your hands in her direction?
So we separate you completely. We separate you completely with this shadow personality that follows you, that accompanies you. In the name of Jesus, we separate your destiny, your life, your health. We separate it from this darkness. Walk free tonight. Walk free tonight. Walk free tonight. In the name of Jesus. Walk free. Everything that you've lost, let it be restored to you. Climb in into the door that the Lord has opened for you. Climb into it. All those disappointments that have surfaced around your life, we banish them from your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, before I pray for the sick, I've seen it like 3 or 4 times. I need to explain this carefully so that you will not misunderstand me. You see, demonic spirits they look like certain animals. Not exactly like them, but like. So the one I see now looks like a snake, like a serpent. This serpent has been accompanying this person, shutting doors, putting the person in a very complicated situation, cutting off opportunities that God has opened because of this serpent. Now, ushers, as I speak, what will happen is the Lord will identify the person by a touch of the anointing. As I speak, the person will be identified by a touch of the anointing. The hand of the Lord will come upon the person. The hand of Jesus will come upon that individual. The hand of the Holy Ghost will come upon that individual. Will come upon that individual. The power of the serpent must be broken. Of the serpent, I break the covenant of the serpent in the name of Jesus. What you have lost, I give it back to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let the covenant of the serpent be broken. Broken. In the name of Jesus. Let the covenant of the serpent be broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, we release you from this covenant. We release you in the name of Jesus. If you are baptized, reduce your voice. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, can we speak in tongues for 2 minutes just to check some things in the spirit? Just to check. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. As I see the Kennedy and Makasa, that's a sila tole. Ekosamina kudeman sali. I te hai kamata. Okeskedia is for manseli. I talk on mena ikoba mena sute. Alobo koria braski samaketo. Eko mena siya. Eko manseli. Eko mako. Yes, let the snake covenant, the serpentine covenant, I judge you. I judge you. I break your hold. I break your hold in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now listen to me, listen to me. Before we pray for, hey, oh,
Oh God. I want to tell you a story. There's someone in our midst today. When you were born, your umbilical cord was taken from you, was used in a ritual to tie you to a certain deity.
Listen
to me.
Your umbilical cord was severed from your body, used in a ritual to tie you to a certain deity.
And you have been a victim of this deity. You gave your life to Christ, but you were not taught how to close the past. So once and again, this deity still projects into your life. It is God's will for you to be delivered from that influence. It has shut down your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one in our midst that is a victim of a covenant that was done on his or her life without her permission, using his or her umbilical cord to tie that soul, to a deity of darkness. Ushers, I think we need to have a discussion before I come back. We need to sit down and have a discussion. We have to discuss. We have to do some deliverance before we start.
Come on!
We separate you from the covenant that has held you bound. The covenant that intends to shut down your life. We break the yoke. We release you in the name of Jesus.
Yahweh.
We give you back your destiny. We give you back your ordination. We give you back everything that was taken away from you. We give it back to you. We give it back to you. In the name of Jesus. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Silent Tekomansin. Silent Makatula. Silent Semina Kute Manzani. Embrosketa Mina Kuria. Bamen de Hese. Lose her. Oh. The door of marriage that was closed in your life, I open it. I open it. I open it in the name of Jesus. Zaponetei. Kebosik. Kebo Manelias. Brosketa Mina Kadia. Uke Babote. Don't worry, let me come over. I disconnect you from the arrangement, the agreement, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of any spiritual influence other than the Holy Ghost that is on your life. Come, shake me. Put your hand here. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. I give back to you that which was taken from you in the name of Jesus. 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 Loose her. Let her go. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
He has accepted. Remove this yoke. Lord, give her eyes. Give her eyes. Give her eyes. Give her eyes. Give her eyes to see. Yes, yes, this one is out of it. The name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we bring you up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you glory. Yes, so there was a program to ensure. Let me be sure that you are good now. Yeah. So there was a program to ensure you never get married. But you will get married now. Yeah, you will get married. Now, and if your younger sister is here, the same thing will be on her line. Why is she? She didn't come today. Oh, at least it's not my fault. Yeah, you will get married. Now, listen. So in ministry, there are a few angels that work with me. So one just touched me now. And the reason why he touched me is because there is a case that we cannot ignore. There's a case. So in the next 17 seconds, the hand of the Spirit of God will come upon that person that God wants us to attend to. Father, from my left-hand side to my right-hand side, that individual that you are signaling about, I ask, Lord, stretch forth your hand, show me by touch of your Spirit, by touch of your Spirit, show me by touch of your Spirit. Let your hand come on that individual. Let your hand come on that individual. Let your hand come even stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger on that individual. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey. We take you out of the season that you were brought into. We take you out of that season. Release grace on your life. Okay, yes. Now you will smile. 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 So there is someone in the congregation. What I see on you, the garment I see on you suggests that you are called into prophetic ministry. You are called, a fire will descend on you. A fire will descend on you. This one is called into prophetic ministry. The one that I see in the spirit. A fire will come on you. A fire. Fire will come on you. Fire will come on you. To open up your spiritual senses. Your spiritual senses will be open.
will be open to see, to perceive, to understand. Your spiritual senses will be activated. Your receptacle will be activated. Grace will be poured into your vessel. Grace will be poured into your vessel. Grace will be poured into your vessel.
We give you praise.
Grace.
Yes, you come.
Laisosene ekopi. Laisosamakuria brasketonde. Sosoria brakamensa li kobeskura maga balata.
Okay. So you can.
His spirit is upon him. His grace is upon him. His grace is upon you. Go in this thy mind. Let the grace of God on your life begin to speak. From this day henceforth, in the name of Jesus. Come. So I put a blessing upon you. I put a blessing. Let the blessing speak. Let it speak. Let there be a compensation for so many years in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Grace on your life. Now listen. What I sense now. Someone close to me here. Are you sure? How are you sure? Someone close to me. Let's find out if it's you. Someone close to me, not too far from me. This person, I see a flame burning on your head. That's what I see when I come in contact with an evangelist. So there's an evangelist close to me here. And that flame will come on you. That flame will fall on you. There's an evangelist. The flame will fall on you. The flame, it will be here. It will fall on you. The flame of Jesus. Yes, so Lord, look on your servant. Ibroko sete kendo kuria. Jesus, we give you glory. Give you praise. Ilobros kete mahali kuratoria. Oh, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine on you in the name of Jesus. With a presence, there's a presence of God that will accompany. So in the next one minute, I'll just say prayer for you. Anyone that needs a healing, maybe. You want to read without your glasses. You want to hear. You want the pain on your waist to go. There's someone that I already saw in the congregation. You have symptoms of paralysis on your body. God is okay. You have symptoms. Oh yeah. So God will touch that right now. So you stand. You stand there. You stand. So what you will do for me, because there's no space, because there's no space, no need for you to move. Just put your hand where the thing is. If it's a growth, a cancer, maybe it's on the breast, put your hand there. If it's any position that is linked with the sickness, and if it's your eyes, you can take out your glasses and lay your hands on your eyes. Just in a moment, and the Holy Ghost will take out that body from your body. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. There's someone that is, you've been a victim of migraine, a very terrible type of migraine. You've lived with it. Very terrible type of migraine. The end of that migraine is today. The end of that migraine is today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every sickness. I bind every affliction. I bind every pain in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of pain. I break the yoke of sickness. Oh my God. Blinding spirits, be bound. Deafening spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. I see someone battling with a pain, very sharp pain on your back. And when you went for an x-ray, they told you that your spinal cord has shifted. The Lord fixes your condition right now. Let the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the affliction be broken in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I release your healing power to flow in their bodies from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet in the name of Jesus. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, let the healing power of God flow. Let it flow in the name of Jesus. Let every symptom of paralysis be lifted, be broken, even this instant, in the name of Jesus. I command that eye, see in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so the healings have started. The healings have begun to take place. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Let the healing anointing begin to reach into the broken parts of the human body and begin to effect a cure, a restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you honor. We exalt you. We magnify your name. Yes, Father, we magnify your name. We magnify your name. Yes, the yokes are broken. The yokes are broken. The yokes are broken. Yes, let those pains also give way. Give way. Give way in the name of Jesus Christ. We magnify your name. Okay. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now you can check yourself, your eyes, your hearing. Check for the pain. And if you realize that there is a change, you will identify after a rigorous check. You can now identify by the raise of hand. If you identify that there is a change, then you can identify by what Conduct your test first. Conduct your test. When you conduct your test and you identify that there is a change, then we can now have a discussion. Please check yourself. While you check yourself, I would like you to be seated. I need to do two things before I leave. Be seated. All right, so there's someone that I see. You came with a pain. This pain is from your waist all the way to your back. If you check it now, you will discover that it's no longer there. So please check. People with eye issues, check your eyes, conduct a test. Don't keep quiet if something happens. If something happens, the way to identify is by a wave of hand. If something happened to you, the way to identify is by a wave of hand. So you have 2 minutes to run your checks, okay? Now, listen. Listen to me. First thing I need to do here is, if there is anyone that is seated in this place or standing in this place and you have not yet turned your life over to Jesus, and you want to do that tonight, very simple. Put your right hand on your chest, anywhere you are. Forget about your neighbor. If your neighbor is not interested, leave the person. Salvation is personal. Your right hand on your chest, then your left hand up so that the preacher can see. Right hand on your chest, then your left hand up so that the preacher can see. You want to give your life to Christ? Raise it, don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this broken world, I'll be ashamed of you in the kingdom of my Father. Those of you whose hands are lifted, rise on your feet. And come. Rise on your feet and come. Rise on your feet and come. Rise on your feet and come. Yes, come. Come. You are welcome. I'm still waiting for someone in the congregation. I'm still waiting. You can rise on your feet and you can join us. You can rise on your feet and you can join us. Hallelujah. Yeah, have you checked it? Have you checked your body? You still feel the pains? You feel it a little. Okay, don't worry. Let's continue with our prayer. Are you joining this line? Okay. Yes, so do not... I still want to... Before I proceed, I want to still give the opportunity. If you are here and you've not turned over your heart to the Lord, you can join us. 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 For those of you that are here, I want to lead you to address Jesus. Can you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant I entered into knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken. Give me the grace to live for you all the days of my life. From this day henceforth, in Jesus' name. Lord, accept them into your kingdom. 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 In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, do we have a counselor that will address this once? All right, so please, can you go this way just for 1 minute? You will join us before we shut down. The second call I want to make, you must have checked your body now. If you notice that there is a change, you can rise on your feet.
I want to take just two off. Notice that there is a change. The pain you came with, you can no longer find. What was troubling you is no longer there. Your eyes, now you can read without your glasses. Anyone in the congregation? All right, so you can rise on your feet. Okay, three of you can come. Come. Can you equip them with a microphone, please, sister?
Yahweh.
Now let us. Now, once you get the song, are you there? The song that attracts God. Don't change it. If you keep singing it, you keep coming.
You are greater than what people say, Yahweh.
I'm still teaching. This is the practical side of the teaching.
Yahweh.
So you can fill one 24-hour day with one song. On the train station, on the plane, in the office. Just when you raise it, he will come again. That's how I live. I'm in contact with him. So if I meet you and we have a discussion and we shake hands, it's more than shaking hands. I begin to know who I'm talking to. Help me.
Yahweh. You are bigger than what people say. Yahweh.
Now you see, there's someone that is here. There's someone that is here. You have a gift that you have not activated. This gift you were given is a gift of prophecy. But the channel through which the gift will operate is a channel of dreams. The gift of prophecy, but it will operate by dreams. Where's my handkerchief? The gift of prophecy, but it will operate by dreams. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that you are given the gift of prophecy that is in our midst, through the channel of dreams, prophetic dreams, symbolic dreams, significant dreams, coming by the stirring of the Holy Spirit. I ask that oil might begin to descend upon that individual, that oil might begin to come so strong, that oil might begin to descend in his strength. Let the gift of prophecy be activated on the life of that individual. Let it be activated. It's an activation. As long as we keep singing that song, his presence will keep coming. Pastor, there's a young man that I saw. He walked into this place yesterday. The mark of death is on him. That means he's not going to live for long. Like 1 month, 2 months, thereabout. So I was watching. Yes, sir. Because of him, I didn't give the altar call. I just wanted to watch him. The moment we rose up to pray, he left. So I was now wondering, he came today. Why did you come today? When you were not patient to wait yesterday, he came today. And I was still watching. When we rose up to pray again, that's for your information. So your blood, his blood is not on your hand.
Amen.
He will not survive. That's the truth. He will not survive. He has forsaken his mercy. This meeting, it was a mercy. It was because of him only this meeting was set up as a means of extending mercy. What is killing him is a curse that is on his family. A curse of untimely death is on his family. And okay, let's leave. Yes, please, let's find out what's going on.
This lady came in and she had a shoulder pain, the right shoulder pain. She said that the pain is gone.
But now, for how long have you had that pain? Like 2 years. Now, can you put it?
It normally ticks a lot, so it's still ticking, but it just feels free, like the pain is gone.
Okay, so now I will shake you like this. Then we'll check it again. Okay, so check again.
It feels good.
Okay. Is it?
It's yeah. Good.
Yes.
This lady walked in, she said she couldn't see very well.
You couldn't see?
Now she can see clearly.
Do you use glasses?
I do.
For how long have you used them?
About 5 years.
And you notice that... Don't go away. Don't go away. You notice that there is some additional clarity?
Yes.
You can see without the glasses?
Yes. I couldn't read anything on my phone without my glasses at all, but I can see about 80% clearer now.
Okay. So the healing, it's not complete yet. So as you are going home, it keeps improving. Huh? It keeps improving. The first thing I do when I come for a meeting like this is to scan for how many people have the mark of death. Because part of my calling is to reverse death. Yes. So I scan to find out how many have the mark. You know, when the Thursday meeting we held, we had to help somebody. So I do that. It's part of my calling. I know what to look for to know where you stand, either in death or life. This meeting was put together because of that young man. It's the demons of the family that allowed him, that pushed him. Now, I wanted him to take a decision. Do you want the demons or you want salvation? So he chose the demons. There's nothing we can do about it. Many people in the graveyard don't have any business there. Have no business. Yes, let's hear.
This lady, I'll have her explain because of the nature of it, and she has confirmation.
Okay, do you know her?
No.
You don't know her?
She said...
Yeah. Okay, let us.
I was praying. I put my hands on my stomach.
Okay.
Praying for my womb.
Okay.
Because I have went to the hospital. Okay. Did a physical check and they can't see nothing wrong with me. But okay. In the realm of the spirit, I drank and I was in a hospital setting and stuff. They were planting something
inside of your womb.
So I went praying to God for him to. That's my homework. But when he was praying, I put my hands on my stomach and I started feeling like warmness.
Put your hand, wait. Put your hand again, okay? And if you don't mind, I'll put my hand on your head.
Lord Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise. Okay, so the power of God is on her now. So even if I take off my hands, the power will remain. For instance, I put my hand here, like this. Yes? Just let me touch it. Like that. Okay, then I continue from here. Put the hand here. Put it like this. Yes, just a touch. Come. Touch. Okay? Touch. Come. Just a touch. Okay, so that's enough. That's enough. So now I've removed my hands. Huh? You know the reason why I can do this? Because the presence now is no longer going. The presence has stayed. So I can demonstrate that presence. So I've removed my hands, but my hand is on one person. Still on one person. And in the next few seconds, you begin to see the person upon whom my hand is still resting. My hand is still resting and it's even coming stronger. That my hand is still on someone, one of them. And it's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger. Father, let the one upon whom my hand still rests, let that one begin to feel your touch. It's coming stronger. 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 Holy Ghost! It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. See, that's my hand. Still my hand. So who told you that if a spiritual man shakes you, he gives you more than a shake, either a demonic spiritual person or a divine spiritual person? Is this thing that I know that you cannot steal from me? If I have touched it and I keep it, you can't steal it. You can't take it. Okay. I'm coming. You know, this water is from Boston. I didn't bring it from Minnesota. Can we come? Can we agree that I did not travel with it? Okay. We got stuck with bridges. Sometimes I say some things. People are asking, "Oh my God, what happened?" Yes. We use kilograms. I came here, they say pounds. What's pounds? We use kilometers. I came here, they say miles. Jesus. No. Please permit me. To just do a little spring. Alright? Just a little. Just a little. Okay. Is it water that came on them? Okay. Can you see them? Can you see them? My young brother, if you have faith, your eyes can begin to see without those glasses. Remove those glasses. Remove them and sit down. Take a book and begin to read.
Oh.
His presence is on Hannah. You can put his presence on your door. If someone comes with a satanic weapon, he can't, the weapon will be neutralized. Can you see? It's even coming stronger. It's even coming stronger. It's even coming stronger. The reason why I asked you to wait, all of you, is because there's one of you that God wants to anoint. There's one of you, but I don't know the person.
Hey! Ooh.
So right now, we can continue this service until 12 midnight, and his presence will not go. Because we've trapped him. He's trapped here now. As long as we can sing that song, if it, you can use the presence to walk a miracle, a sign, a wonder. You can take it into your business. It will begin to make it prosper. You are not without power. You are not without power. Now, so let us also give you your own personal miracle. As you go home, I don't know what has died. Is it your business that died? Go back, take the papers of the business. Let that be the first thing you touch. And then watch and see.
If you
what is it that has died? Maybe your womb, they say you cannot take it again. These are the ushers. So what we'll do, I will touch you just a little touch like this. Just a touch like this. Just a touch like this.
Yahweh, you are bigger than
rest upon you in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please, the ushers, you can go in. Please, the South Shore team. Amen. Please, everybody go in. Amen.
Yes, where's the next team?
Amen. Pastor Mike. Pastor Kachi. Pastor Karen. Please, quick, quick, quick. Pastor Mike. Minister Joy, please. Out quick. Deacon Sean and Deacon Tamika Pasley, please out quick. Pastor Stan and Sister Abby, please somebody grab Sister Abby from the children. Elder Felix Ozioma, please. Pop. Grandma Mercy, please can somebody grab her from the children. Bro Rick Palmer. Sister Emily Pasquez, please. Quick, quick. Sister Julie Binosu, please. Can you come out again? Bro Jory, please. You can lift the drum and get over here to be prayed for. Bro Lutz, PJ, please. Can you guys get out here quick? The South Shore team. Jamela Ibo, Kosi Ibo, Emilia Ibo. Asharia Adels, can you come out real quick? And Grandma Alice, please. Can we kneel down?
Okay, so we'll just touch you like this. Just touch you like this. No, let mommy not kneel. Just, I will come to her. I'll come to her. The apostolic fire with witness of miracles, signs, wonders. And you see, he has said me. He has said me. He has said me. He has said me. Grace. Whatsoever you lay your hands upon today, shall prosper. So, there's an anointing that's been placed on my head now. I sense it. It will transfer from my head to someone in about 21 seconds. Lord, let it be transferred. 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 Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger, 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 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, I bless you, that grace might rest upon your life. Ah, you are anointed, you are anointed, there's an anointing on you. Let it multiply, let it be stronger. Grace on your life in the name of Jesus. Grace on your life in the name of Jesus. Yes, whatsoever you lay your hands upon to do, it prospers. It prospers. Grace, 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 grace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Give your thanks. Be magnified. Be magnified. Be magnified. I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I will lift you up and then you can go. Yes. to rise into a new season. Grace is deposited. Grace is deposited on your life. Grace is deposited on your life. Grace. Prosper, 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 prosper. Grace. Grace. Give me your hand. Grace. Grace on your life in the name of Jesus. Grace. Grace on your life. Grace on your life. Grace. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we exalt your name, we exalt your name, magnify you, magnify you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are.